Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for our coming together by your grace. It is your grace, Lord, that bring us all together in this one place. It's not, Lord, that we desire in our heart, O Lord, but because there is something, O Lord, that you put in our heart. And because we know you, that you make yourself known to us, Father, that is this deep called unto the deep. That, Lord, because of this deep, the called unto the deep, there is this desire that draw us to the deep, Lord, that where our thirst may be quenched, Father, and that our hunger, O God, may be satisfied. So, Father, we thank you now for today, that by your grace given to us, Lord, you make a way for us to be here. And for those brethren that are not here today, we ask that you bless them wherever they may be at their post of duty. Again, Father, as we see the day of Christ fast approaching now, we see the things that are happening in the world. We know, Lord, that these are the signs, and we ask that you grant us the grace, O Lord, to continue walking in the light that you have given us. Give us your strength now, Father, and your presence to unveil your word to us. A little note and nugget here and there that we might feed on, Father, to give us strength for this journey that we are going on until we see Christ face to face, Father. We commit this time now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me sit it. And let us go to where we left from in the book of Jeremiah. And as I said, just want to look through Jeremiah of some of the important event or prophecy that happened, or his ministry that happened in the last part of his the kingdom of Judah. All right? And we are just going quickly on the important, and as I said, if you can, take your time to read the book of Jeremiah, because it's a book that is full of prophecy and the life that, you know, of the children of Israel, and how the God dealt with them, and the way that what happened in their life is happening to the churches today. Alright, because as like Israel, so spiritual Israel is the same. Chapter 11 of Jeremiah now. Here we have the record of Jeremiah in how God told him regarding the covenant that God gave to Israel and how they have broken it. And as I said, we're not going to every chapter and every verses, and we just want to jump, you know, to the important part of the passages. So when Jeremiah went out there to prophesy to the people of Judah in Jerusalem city, and told them how that they have not kept the promise of God, the covenant of God, in fact they have broken it, and warned them about the judgment of God that's to come. So now those who heard what Jeremiah prophesied, many of them, you know, are so self-righteous, there are false prophets out there, there are religious people out there, they were very angry with the words of Jeremiah. And they plot to destroy him. So in verse 18 we can see that this is what went on. And the Lord, they have given me knowledge of it, and I know it, that thou show me they are doing. But I was like a lamb on an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. That is how what Jeremiah heard from the people, how they did seek to destroy him. And he cried to the Lord, verse 20, but O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that tries the rein and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anatoth, that seek thy face, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Now, I'm sorry, he did not prophesy over there in Jerusalem, but in his own town, in the what we call the land of Benjamin, where he was a Benjamite, and Anathoth is the city that he was born and raised up. Alright, so this is what the Lord told him, and in fact, as we can see in verse 20, he himself said, let me see thy vengeance on them. Now, do you think sometimes it's kind of hard and kind of unacceptable to say, oh, prophet asking God to take vengeance upon him in order to destroy those who devise evil? Alright, but sometimes, you know, this is the Old Testament, the people there, they are not, they're still, of course, without the born-again experience. So for today, Jesus Christ taught us different as a Christian. Is that right? Love your enemy as thyself. Love your enemy, love your neighbor, you know. And, you know, if they slap you on the left, give the right, and so on. So we don't want to seek for revenge, we don't want to retaliate. Alright? And of course, in chapter 12, now it's God's, Jeremiah's complaint and how God answered him. But let us look in verse 9. Alright, how God said, the mine heritage is like unto me as a speck of bird. The birds fly around about against us. Come ye, example all the beasts of the field, come to devour. My heritage is Jerusalem, Judah, my nation, Israel. They are like a speck of bird. Now, a speck of bird are birds with many colors and things like that, you know. And it seems to be implying that some sense that Israel and Judah has sort of already mixed up with all the various religions. So, speck of bird seems like they're all having different colors, just like, you know, the Christian church, we only have one white wedding garment. But here it seems that the Church of God today, so-called, you know, the church, it's filled, you know, the government is tainted and blemished with all the different denominational name on it. Alright? So my heritage. So in verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Now when you read this, I want you to remember to try to reflect that also to the church today. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion under the underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Verse 13, they have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of their revenue because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Whatever you sow, you see, you're supposed to reap, but they sow wheat, instead they get torn. Now, same thing of today. We look at the churches today, out there. Alright, we have all this charismatic church and all this Pentecostal, you have all this get-rich-quick promise that God's supposed to give it to you. But they're so weak, they say that they are preaching the truth, sowing the truth, so to speak. But they are getting tossed down. What they have, of course, is the worldly material thing. But in the end result, what they see grow out of it is nothing but thorns. Alright? And they are not going to profit because it's a shame. There shall be a shame of their revenue, their gain, because of the fierce anger of the Lord. They're not going to get what they think that is the real thing of God. Chapter 15 now, quickly. In chapter 13, sorry. Chapter 13, here we have one day the Lord told Jeremiah, go and get thee a linen girdle. You know what linen is? Not just an ordinary cloth, huh? It's a fine linen thing. It's a very expensive material. Linen girdle, and put it in upon thy loin, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loin, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and rise and go to Euphrates, and hide there in the hole of the rock. So I went and hide it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Now, sometime, let me ask you this question here. If the Lord speak to you one day, just like that, go, buy a trousers, buy something. You know, and then you went out there, and you bought it, and you went. So the Lord said, okay, one day, the Lord speak to you again, take your trousers, I want you to go down to Africa somewhere and hide it, dig a hole and put it there. Now, it was kind of a little strange, isn't it? I mean, huh? Then you have to do all these things. Now, why isn't that not that God just tells Jeremiah directly what to say, what to prophesy? You know. But all this last thing to Jeremiah have an impact upon the prophet's life.
you know, what they see, what they were told to do, they do it because God is wanting to illustrate something. Alright, so he did that. What went to Euphrates? Euphrates is where Babylon is. It borders, you know, the river is where is the border of the kingdom of Babylon. So when you go up there, dig a hole and then put it, find out what they call a hole in the rock and put it there. Then after some time again, God told him, okay, go and dig it up. So he went back there and dig it up. And so what did he find? In verse 17 he says, the girdle was marred. This, it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of Lord came unto me saying, thus said the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleft to the loin of a man, so have I caused to cleft unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, said the Lord, that they shall be unto me for the people, for the name, and for the praise, and for the glory, but they would not hear. So now, of course, it's worthless, isn't it? Because when the girdle is marred, it's damaged, it's, you know, soiled and whatever, maybe it's already broken down. It's not fit to wear. So God told them, he said, these are the people. I wanted to clap them to me, but now they are worthless. They are perfect, good for nothing. Then in the next verse, 12 onward down here, it's about something regarding this filled bottle. You know what bottles are for? Well, the bottles are to contain wine. So now, Jeremiah was told to prophesy that, and so he did. So in verse 13 he said, then shall thou say unto them, thus said the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the father and the son together, said the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, because he caused darkness, and before your feet stumbled upon the dark mountain, and while you looked for the light, he turned it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. Now listen, just remember this. You know, the Bible tells us one thing in the book of Ephesians by Paul. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So now, taking that what wine can do to a person, when you drink wine or you drink liquor too much, you are drunk. But when the Bible tells us to drink of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And when we do, we get drunk with the Word, right? Are we not right? So you get stimulated with this revelation and the understanding of truth and so on. Now, the same thing here, what God told about Israel. Let us look at it for us as spiritual Israel. It is true, isn't it, that even verse 16, how that God told them to give glory to Him. But you know, the people wanted to look for light. He said they were in darkness. God caused it to turn to darkness. And like as would be said by Isaiah, hearing, they hear not. Seeing, they see not. In it is strange, you can open the Bible, and read it and study it, just like this poor person who wrote me. A graduate. You know? And well, you might think it must be at least 4 years in theological school. Maybe minimum 3 at least, anyway. He went through that and graduated. Seeing, he sees not. And when he hears what was taught to him, he hears not. Now today, in this end time message, we're a follower of the word of the hour. How many of the people there are actually now following this message to say that they really understand? They really can see? No. It's all gross darkness. And not many people's life. I received an email from the brother in DRC, the one who now has eyes was open, because he was once a follower of a minister in Germany, And he wrote me and said, oh, Brother Dan, he is coming. He's coming to DRC. And the churches are already gathering, making big for to welcome him to come. And they are even singing a song about him. And the song is according to Matthew, chapter 13, where the seven parables, at the end of seven parables, if you do not remember that, that's called Matthew 13, quickly and just refer to that. Matthew chapter 13, and in the last part of that parable, verse 51 and 52. You know, Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto you, Lord, and then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a household who bring forth out of his treasure things new and old. So, the man is coming from Germany. You know, and they're singing a song. They have written a song singing about him and with this verse. You know, but the people are just following. Did they really understand what this man has been teaching all these years? You know, same thing out there in the charismatic, in your own denomination. Do the people really understand what was given out to them? They're looking for light when the whole thing was in fact darkness. And this is the age of Laodicea. They must not forget it. Huh? As Barbara Bram said, the whole light is all gone except for a little light there which is remaining. And it's not a big light, amount of light that you can see in the whole world today. But that light shines in those that are his, who understand and follow the truth. Alright, let's go back to Jeremiah. Verse 19 now in chapter 13. And the city of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive of all that it shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, the beautiful flock? What would thou say when they shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captain as chief over thee. Shall not sorrow take thee as a man, woman in tribute? And if thou say in thy heart, wherefore come this thing upon me? For the gladness of thy iniquity are thy skirt discovered, and thy heel made bare. You know what a skirt discovered means? Of course, men wear skirts in those days too. Uh-huh. Yes or no? Men wear skirts, you know? Skirt is just a word. It's just a wrap around. Okay, don't always forget that, huh? Because in those days, don't tell me that Moses wear trousers. People will have laugh at you. Alright, so your skirt discovered means that when your skirt is discovered means that what they could see when your skirt is lifted up. You understand? That is why in front of you sisters should dress and your skirt should be long to cover your knees and all that. You understand, huh? Okay. And the heel make bad means that everything is completely, when you clean the heel, everything is completely, it means that you're naked. Can the Ethiopian change his skin on the lap of his sport then? May ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil? Can a leopard change the spot? No. Can a Ethiopian change the skin from black to white? No. And you who are doing evil, do you think you can do good? Can you do good when you know that the way you are doing, that you are always doing evil? That's God speaking to the children of Israel. Therefore would I scatter them as the stubble that passed away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, said the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trust in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirt upon thy face that thy shame may appear. Therefore I will discover thy skirt upon thy face. As you say, God, you lift it up. You know, you lift up our skirt. You know, skirt is very long. Lift it up and cover your face. So you show your nakedness, but your face is covered up. Maybe the person is completely blind to his own nakedness. And the same thing the Bible says in the book of Revelation concerning the Elysian church, you are naked and you don't even know it. God has lifted up the skirt and covered them, exposing their nakedness, and they don't even know that they are naked. Huh? Isn't it? Terrible. And this is the condition of Judah then. Alright. Now in chapter 14, let us go to verse 11. Alright, concerning how this is Jeremiah, well, Jeremiah is always in this situation. Every time he hears from God, he will go and speak. Almost practically, you know, one message after another keep coming to him from the Lord. God keep on telling the children of Israel, go and speak to them, prophesy to them. And now it's all about the famine that came, that is to come. And then in verse 11, then the Lord said unto me, pray not for these people, for they are good. You know, Jeremiah, oh my goodness, Jeremiah, you look at the next book of Jeremiah's Lamentation. You know how he weep and he cried and he feels so sorry, and sometimes he was so frustrated. You know. And then God said, don't even pray for them no more. Huh? See, you know, remember what Brother Ram says, I no longer pray for America. After his indictment, he said, I no longer pray for America, she's finished. Think about it. Well, it's one thing to pray for them to curse you. Pray for those that hurt you, hate you. That's okay. But for those who reject the word, you know that they have crossed the line, pray no more. Get it? You see? So God said, don't pray for them. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they burn, offer a burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God. It's a stranger, ah, Lord God. Behold, the prophet said unto them, the prophet here means the false prophets, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you a short peace in this place. You know, that's when Jeremiah went out there, prophesied what the Lord said. The false prophet came around and said, don't worry, he's a false prophet. There will be no destruction. We are all okay. You know. And the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I send them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, divination, and the thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. How is it today we are seeing the same thing? You use the word prophecy. Prophets, not necessarily as a prophet, but as a preacher. Prophesy means as to preach. God said, I have never sent these people. They preach false, you know, visions and dreams that they claim that they have. I didn't send them. And sometimes I wonder how important it is when Brother Bam's message, you know, there's a couple of books out there. And what is that? Doing God a service without it being His will. And I don't want to be caught in that situation, and I believe that there are many preachers today in the end time message are doing just that. Doing God a service without it being His will. Did God call you to go to the people? Did God call you to preach, to teach? You know? You know that you are an elder in the church, it's different. You are sharing something basic. Something, some exhortation. But as a preacher who is trying to say, oh, the Lord show me this, the Lord show me that, the Lord show me this is the revelation, this is the doctrine, this is the truth. You understand? You know? Well, when I went, ever so often when I get an email from people, from different ones, I'm obligated to give a reply. You understand? I have to. But you know, the man who tried to reconcile this resurrection event, he said that I had been looking through the net, searching the net, and I found some of this website that dealt with this, harmonizing this event. He said I have wrote to them and asked them to explain. But he says, not all of them explained to me, only one. One came back with an answer, but he said that it's all, you know, fragmented. It doesn't make sense to him. So, you see, if we who are called, if we are preachers, we are called to do a ministry. We should be able to give an answer to every man that asks of my faith. And so the same thing we do, if they ask you why you believe in Jesus, at least not about doctrine. But there are many, so many people ask me something deep, something that I teach, something that they feel that was wrong. I need to explain to them and give them an answer. You know, all the best that I can give them. Beyond that, they come out with all the nonsensical things. I says, I cannot go beyond that. But we have a duty. But there are these prophets, these preachers, they are not called of God. They have lied to the people of Israel. You know, when God sent Jeremiah, he was just only one man. But there are so many false prophets out there. Huh? What a difference. You see. And today is just likewise. Alright, chapter 15. So here is God's unyielding. Now, remember this chapter deals with something interesting. God's unyielding anger with Judah. Then they said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind will not be towards these people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Even if Moses were standing before me and plead with me and Samuel plead with me, I would not even, you know, answer the prayer. Answer their plea. You know. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, now whither shall we go forth, then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, such as are for the captivity to the captivity. Well, are we going? Well, the Lord already said, if you're going to die, you die. If you're going to die by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're going to die by famine, you die by the famine. If you're going to be got into captivity, you, that's where you go. God has already predetermined all this for you. That's to say that you cannot change God's mind anymore. You know, you saw sometime, you know, the Bible talks about that people who does not take heed to God, it's true. They won't want to believe in all these lies. And the word truth of God was some strong delusion. Huh? To believe in them, they're going to be sealed with the whole iron that they cannot believe the truth anymore. And that's how important it is for us. When we have a truth, we go straight to it. Hold fast to it. Huh? Right, good. And don't say, ah, no, this and that. But when the God shows you something that is true, you better believe it and hold to it. Lest of what you have will be taken away from you. When God give us something, we shouldn't despise those things that God give us. Verse 3. And I will appoint over them four kinds, said the Lord, the sword, but to slay, the dogs, to tear, the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Of course, they destroy. There are four kinds of way that how God is going to clean up the land. First, die by the sword. Then the body lay down there, if it's not being buried, the dog will come and tear it to pieces. And what all pieces are left scattered here, the fowl of the heaven will come and the beast of the earth will come and eat it up. Huh. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of man. Now just look at this verse here. I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. Wow. Just because of one man who did that evil, God find hard to restrain his anger. So one man can make a difference. Huh? Either you bring evil into the kingdom or you bring good to the kingdom. One man means the whole lot of things. Huh? One man like Moses stood in the gap. Remember? And Israel may not destroy. May not be destroyed. And so today we thank the Lord. I mean, we have Jesus, one man that stood in the gap, or else we would not have eternal life. We'll all be bound for the burning. You see. One man, Martin Luther, to change the whole of Europe against that hall. You see? So one man made a whole lot of difference. Verse 10. Woe is me, my mother. Now this is Jeremiah, he got upset. What is me? My mother, that thou have born me as a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them do curse me. Oh, my mother, why you give birth to me as a man of strife? Our people are cursing me. Verse 16, the words, thy words. Now here is Jeremiah then continue with his frustration, but then suddenly he said, thy words, O Lord, were foul, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, whether we are born, whether we are born crooked, born whatever, how we are born into this world, right? Tall, thin, fat, short, ugly, big head, long, small nose, whatever. Some people complain when they look into the mirror, my nose is so small, my nose is so big. How come my eye is so small? Sometimes I saw the news on the TV, the Korean president, you know, very small, huh? They say, oh, kind of strange, you know. Guess maybe he live in a land where there's a lot of sun, that's why he's always putting his eye down until become habitual. You know. So, whether you're born, whatever. And here, you can get all frustrated, huh? Okay? But Jeremiah says, your word was found. And I rejoice, because I'm called by thy name. I think that's what we all are happy. Isn't it? I mean, there are people that are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Singapore has a lot of rich people, millionaires, multi-millionaires. A lot of them. You can see the way that they are building those houses, what Blackstone, whatever, how many stories, so beautiful, half a million, 1 million, this and that. Huh? Rich, lots of rich people. And so much so, of course, we have children, of course, you know, born under this rich family. Take it for granted. And today we are living in the condition in Singapore, especially now. Okay. With all the foreigners coming into Singapore, and there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of stress. Okay. And of course a lot of young people, well, they are still in their teens. They don't quite realize what stress is yet. Right? Until they go start working, and they couldn't get what they want. So they work their way up. The young one has spent a thing that, well, they have everything for them. Here in Singapore, we have all this electronic stuff, as I said, affecting a lot of young people. Now, lots of young people are, well, they're taking up higher education now. They're university, looking for, you know, getting a degree. Now, if all this education is going to take you away from God, because out there when you mix with from poly to college and then to you, now, you are going to be influenced because out there in this education, out there in this world, okay, you are going to see young men, young women, and how many Christians will you see there in this higher university, higher educational institution. You'll be there, you find girls dressed sexily, you know, nice trend, and peer pressure will come upon you. They have certain activities, they want you to participate, this and that, you'll be drawn into it. Young people, ladies and gentlemen, you all have it good in this generation, because we, in our previous generation, do not have that. And the generation before that suffered the Second World War and the First World War. And they don't have what you have today. They walk for miles before you have a bicycle. They don't have a washing machine. They have a washboard. You know washboard? And you got to squat down or you got to sit on the stool. And you take hours. You spend hours the whole day for morning. You make breakfast to getting the kids to school. And then you have to clean your home. And then sit down for an hour to wash bowl. By the time you look at the time, it's already noon time, and you have to cook lunch because your children is coming home from the morning school session. And then you do everything, you clean up everything, you know. By the time you look at it, it's 4 p.m.
5 p.m. and he start cooking. And housewife in those days don't have rest. Today, everything is machine. Machine has taken over the world. Ah, wow, so much clothing you wear. Yeah, we complain to your husband, how many shirts do you wear a day? How many trousers do you wear a day? How many socks? How many underwear? You just pick a whole pile of 5 kilos or 10 kilos. You dump it into a washing machine. Press the button. Like it, where it goes. You can go and relax and watch television. Right? So, today's generation is so different. And what the same thing, education is catching up. People buying iPod, iPad, I don't know what. And then the university, they have all these friends, they have text, and they make friends. And in the end, wow, you know you're affected by this. So much so, you can be taken away from going to church. You are so much tied up with your socializing, social networking, chit-chatting, and all sorts of things that you have. One thing, of course, is the iPhone, but now it's IC phone. You see him or her who's talking to you on the phone. You can see it now, isn't it? They have that. Well, I really feel in this generation, I say, wow, I thought young people here have it good. Oh yeah, they have it good, surely. But then I was thinking, I prefer my old life in the generation before. Really? And many of us adult in my generation now to look back, we prefer the old life, isn't it, Brother Kathy? We don't have to worry, we want to have a seesaw. We just tie two ropes on the branch of a tree, put a plank, and then we just seesaw. I mean, swing, not seesaw. You know, relax. You know, and what for recreation? I go out there with a, what we call straw mat, get some sandwiches, and sit under their straw man and, you know, sit there and talk. But today, this is something that we don't see no more. What we see? We see a throne of people that goes up there to, wow, the world resort. It just opened and you can see thousands of people go there. For what? They just want to be part of the crowd. The in thing. Something new. I want to be there. Everybody wants to socialize there. Have you been there? I remember Johan, back then, how many years ago? 20 years ago? When, or 25 years ago maybe, when that building of Yohan was opened, the super big supermarket, huh? or department store. Have you been to Yohan? I went there last week. And then after the next one comes out, the IMM, have you been there? Everybody is asking, huh? And they'll start, as if that is kind of a hobby. And now here, young people, I was just thinking, I just kind of worried for young people, you know, that don't take up so much with your education that you forgot about God. Always have your time for the Lord. If you don't have time for Him, He won't have time for you. He's always there as a father, sitting patiently, you know, that when you come to Him, He will receive you. If He just like, if I was sitting at home, and my son and my daughter comes home from school, and I'm sitting down there, he just opened the door and he just passed me and go to their room. Never say, hi, Dad. I don't exist. God doesn't exist. Huh? You know, you get up morning, God doesn't exist. The whole day, God doesn't exist. Whole night, no exist. Because all you think about is your work and your socializing. But when you are in trouble, oh, God, help me, please. And you start doing that. That's Israel, the same of what happened in those days. As long as everything is okay to them, God don't seem to exist. When they're in trouble, they try to do that. God says, no, I'm not going to hear the prayer no more. You know. So let us remember this. Verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I said, Lord, because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. And Jeremiah now said, yeah, I eat your word, I rejoice. But no, you know what? I sit alone, I don't want to mix with anybody else. You know why, Lord? Because they mock me, they make fun of me. You know? Because in me, you fill me with your word and I have to give to them and they fight against me all. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refused to be healed? Would thou be together, all together unto me as a lion, as a water that fell? Lord, you said this, I did this, but what is happening to me? He's torn both sides. From what he sees of the Judah, the remnant of Israel is left. This is going on. And God told him, tell them this. And he wanted to tell them this. This one God says, I'm not going to hear the prayer. I said, what are you doing, Lord? I'm caught in between. You know how terrible is it? I can tell you one thing. Jeremiah has, you know, he wasn't, he doesn't have a, what we call a good deal as a prophet. You know? At least Moses was called and lead them out of Egypt. You know one thing? Of course, Moses had a lot of problems with them. You see? It's not like Isaiah, but here he was caught in the time when Judah was in the big mess, the last part of the kingdom before they were taken captivity. Taken into captivity. You see? Verse 19, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, will I bring thee again. And thou shalt stand before me, if thou take forth the precious from the vow, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto me, but return not thou unto them. So God told him, he says, alright, now he is upset, he says, okay, but you return to me, I'll receive you, and you'll stand before me, but don't have to go to them. Let them come to you. Let Israel come to you now. And I will make thee unto these people a fence, brazen wall. Don't worry about them. They want to take your life, don't worry. I'll make you stand. I'll make a wall around you. I'll protect you. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to give thee and to deliver thee, said the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Jeremiah had been put in prison a few times. They have beaten him up. You know, that's why he's also upset about all of these things. Now chapter 16 about the coming captivity prophecy, okay? Here in verse 2, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons and daughters in this place. Now, those of you young people, young men, if you are in doubt, you should say, Lord, am I going to get married? Am I going to have a wife? Please give me an answer. You turn the Bible, many, many, many more. Psst. Oh, verse 2, thou shalt not take thee a wife. Praise the Lord! That is not the way to find an answer from God. Don't just simply open it up. You know? You see? Because there is one thing about that. Some of them says, well, what am I going to do? Open up and say, oh, read where Judah went and hang himself. Then, oh, but there's nothing for me. Okay, then again, it's another verse. Go and do likewise. Oh, yeah. So that's not the way to find an answer to your questioning. All right. So, Jeremiah was still not to take a wife because, you know, that was a time of a lot of upheaval. So, God said, go get married, don't have children, nothing. Alright. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lived that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lived that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I give unto their fathers. Now you see that this is a prophecy. This is a draw prophecy. It no need. It God told them they will show one. They will come and say, "Oh, we thank God that we came out of Egypt. No more." But thank the Lord that we are taken up from the land of the north and from all these others. Now, of course, later on, you know, they all went back to Israel, okay, and they built a temple after Cyrus' decree was given. But this one also projects further into the future, because you look into verse 16. Behold, I was sent for many fishers, said the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, and from every hill, and out of the holes of the rock. So then what he's going to say is that, you know, we are seeing this actually fulfilled after the 70 AD diaspora, when they all sent out after the Roman Titus came down and, you know, break down the whole city and brought down the whole temple, and the children of Israel were scattered throughout the world in the 70 AD. Then after that, you know, when Israel was founded, you know, foundation was laid for the for Israel to the Jew to have their homeland in 1917, and then later on became a nation in 1948, May 16. Alright, then a lot of Israel light went back. And in fact, God sent out fishers and hunters, so to speak, you know, to go out there to other countries like Russia and all these places to bring them back, to ask them to come back, you know, to lay eyes with the government and all this, you know, like Russia, no, we don't want the Jew to go out, they cannot go out, this and that, you know, they must want to go, they must leave their gold behind, their wealth behind, that sort of thing, you know. You see, they cannot take all this money out of Russia and all the gold out of Russia. No, but they must leave behind. So all these are all make arrangements how that they should be able to depart from the land of Israel, land of Russia and other countries to go back to Israel. So these are also looking forward into the future. And chapter 17 now, it talks about the sin of Judah here. Verse 5, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh in his arm. Maketh flesh his arm. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, and shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a short land and not inhabited. Cursed be the man that trusts in man. Ah. And that is true, a lot of people trust in man. It's hard to say, but in the Roman Catholic system, men trust in man because they think that by whatever they committed, it goes to the confession box. And behind the inside of the confession box is a priest. And you just confess your sin to him, and he said, alright, your sin has forgiven you. Just say Hail Mary 5 times, or do a small mass, or something like that. And they trust in the priest for that, as if they have the power to forgive sin. You know? And you know where that come from? As when Jesus said to Peter, whatsoever you bind up will be bound up, whatsoever you bind heaven will be bound heaven, and so on. So they take that and say, well, they have the power, the right to forgive sin. I have the right to forgive you for what you, when you trespass against me. But in your trespass against God, how can I forgive your trespass against God? Only God could forgive you. You see? Alright, so this is what the Lord said about the kingdom of Israel. And that, of course, that you will be like a heath, like a shrub, like a desert plant, they used to say, you know, and shall not see good things. And you will always be in a dry place. You know, let us not be like a lot of Christians caught up in dry places. And especially in that message, we follow this truth that we have today, because God brought it to us through the prophet. But instead of walking in which the light that God gave to us, they walk here and there in the parched land, you know, trusting men. When the man said, this is what the prophet meant, this is what the prophet meant, and so on and so on. And I receive a PDF from someone that they said it's a good reading. And I read about it. It's all a lot of quotes of Brother Branham, and he's trying to prove that the thunders are already revealed. You know? You see, and the rapture has taken place in a way, of course, not like somebody else teaches. But they will already rupture into the realm, and your spiritual has a lot of things that does not make sense out of the quotes of Brother Branham. You know, and I believe this is the truth. If you cannot receive it, brother, I'm sorry, you will need to ask the Lord to show it to you. Brother, one thing for sure, if it's not the Bible, I can't believe it. No way can I believe in it. Amen? Let's continue now to verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in a year of drought. Neither shall he cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the parched sit on it and hatch them not, so he that gathereth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from beginning is the place of our sanctuary. So this is talking about how the blessedness of trusting the Lord. Verse 40 now, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Verse 17. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Chapter 18. One day, Jeremiah was told to go to the potter's house. Now it seems that the potter's house is somewhere in Jerusalem near the eastern gate. Now sometimes it is called the dung gate also. Now, the gate has many names. Huh? Like here in Singapore, we have a certain place in Chinatown, Gu Chia Chui Go Bei Chia Lo, Buffalo Street, Waterloo Street. I don't, you know, a certain same place, perhaps we have given some different names. Okay? And so, so one day he was told by the Lord to go to this potter's house. So he went. So he went, he doesn't know what God wanted him to do. He just went there and looked at this potter doing making a pot. So while he was looking at potter making a pot, the potter, you know, redo the whole pot, smash up the whole clay again, and doing it. And redo it, you know. And so he learned, and then he realized, and I was telling him, he said, you know, I am the potter. You know, you are the clay. Have I not the right to shape Israel? Have I not the right to mold my people? Okay, now time, the Lord said, okay, now, you know, I want you to go down to the potters there and take, but we're not going to do it. Okay, take, go to the pot and buy a pot from him. So he bought a pot. And then God told him, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to go down there and prophesy to the children of Israel. So he went there, and in verse 19, thus said the Lord, go and take a potter's earthen bottle or pot, and take the ancients of the people, the ancient means the wise, the religious one, the important man of the people, and also of the priest, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. Now Hinnom, the valley of Hinnom is the son of Hinnom, that originally is a place where the name was given by that name, which is on the eastern side. Now that is also a place called Gehenna today, or even in the day of Jesus Christ called Gehenna, because that's a place where they burn rubbish. It was a place where they actually, you know, were what we call some idolatry rituals were even conducted. Alright, so chapter 19, and we go right down to verse 6 now. So he took all some of the leaders, the priests with him, to went to this valley. Therefore, behold, the day cometh, said the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet. This is also the valley also called by this name. Nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of the slaughter. In verse 11, verse 10, then thou shalt break the border in the sight of the people that go with thee. Now, Jeremiah was told to prophesy to these people about what is going to come. And then he's going to break this pot. And that's what God told him to do. Verse 11, then thou shalt say unto them, thou said the Lord of hosts, even so will I break these people and this city, even as one break a potter's vessel. They cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Now, here's a very interesting thing. If you take a pot made this hole, huh? But once you smash them into small pieces, it's impossible to fix it back. It's not that when you drop it and then a chip came out, you can glue it back. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Huh? But when he was told to smash it into pieces, that's impossible to fix it back. And God told Jeremiah to bring these people to Hinnom and prophesy to them. But why Hinnom? Why this valley? Because this place is a place of filth. Idolatry, worship is conducted there, you know, rubbish are burnt in that same place too. You see, so by the time in Jesus' time, it is known as Gehenna. They burn all kinds of rubbish out there now. Dead animals are cast there to be burned also. So that seemed to be a place to say that, you know, those who forsake the Lord, that's what I would do to them. Burn them there. Destroy them there. And those that are sinners who do not believe in Jesus Christ, that's what will happen. The Bible used the word Gehenna, everlasting fire. Because perpetually in that place, there's always a fire burning. You know, to keep people, I mean, who want to burn anything else, to destroy it at that time. Verse chapter 20 now. Now here is Pashku, the son of Imael, the priest, who are also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied this thing. Then Pashku smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stock. Now here was a priest who think that, doesn't recognize Jeremiah as a prophet. Slapped him, put him in stock, you know, a stock, and locked him up in the, you know, in the gate there, you know. It's this wooden lock and chain, eh?
So he showed to the public. And it came to pass in the morrow the pastor brought forth Jeremiah of the stock. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashkut, but Magog Masabim.
Oh, Pashkut is a name. This means to say that when he's standing, look at people, he has this countenance that caused people to fear him. But Jeremiah, you're no longer that. He said, you're no longer going to be called Pashkut. You are going to become Magog Masabim. That means, says that not only all the people will fear, but he yourself will also be fearful. So this is what is going to come. For thou shalt the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of the enemies, and thy eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon. And the sword shall slay them with the sword. Verse 7, O Lord, here again Jeremiah lament. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. And I was deceived, thou art stronger than I, and have prevailed. I'm in delusion daily. Everyone mocked me. They asked me to do this thing, I did it, but thing doesn't happen the way I expected it. You know, he probably expect the children of Israel to take heed to what he prophesied. No, they won't. You know, the same thing when I preach certain thing, you know, after that I preach and everybody say all kinds of things, you know. And everybody look at you that, well, this guy is the enemy. This guy is not, you know. You get what I'm saying? Oh. You know. I have been to places, I told you in the past, when I was in Africa, when I preach. I was up there to preach, they say, oh, I believe you, this and that. And next 5 minutes, out I go. They put me away from the pulpit. I was invited to Ghana. Because they said they believed what I preached, also with certain other minister, and I was supposed I was make the main speaker. I preached the first day one message enough. There was so much confusion among the other because they all the other minister that came there, they were all Branhamites, and they went up there in the pulpit and started to attack my message. There's so much confusion, you know. And behind my back, all sorts of things were said, and the pastor were even taken by what was said. And said, oh Lord, why? You deceived me. He asked me to go and I preach and I prophesy in here. What do I get? I'm a mockery. They make fun of me. They beat me up. They put me in lock and chain or whatever. For sin I spake, I cried out, I cried violent and spoiled. Behold, because the word of the Lord was make a reproach unto me. And the derision daily. Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Yeah, Lord, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to preach about your name. I'm not going to use your name anymore. But in my heart that is burning, how can I stop that? You see, oh my. That Jeremiah, oh Jeremiah. Verse 14, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Oh Jeremiah, he was so upset, huh? He doesn't imagine he was really living in the time when Israel was just refusing to hear the word of God. And the condition they were in, he was so, disappointed with them, yet he loved them, they were his people. And God called him to preach, and he was caught in this situation. And he said, cursed be the day when I was born. Let not the day when my mother bade me to be blessed. Happy birthday to you. No! Cursed be the day when I was born. Wow. You don't see how he must have been. Cursed be the man who brought forth tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto you. Making him very glad. Ah, cursed be the day when somebody couldn't tell my father when I was in my mother's room. Oh, you're going to have a man child. And my father is so happy. But when I was born, I wasn't. I was cursed. Oh, boy. And let not that man be as the city which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the crying of the morning and shouting at noontime. Because he slew me not from the womb. Or that my mother might have been my grave and home. Womb will be always great with me. Yeah, I wish that
Somehow I would die in the womb of my mother or not be born at all. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with sin. Why then must I come out of the womb of my mother and see all this problem and all this pain and the sorrow? And that my day will be consumed with shame. Everywhere I preach, I prophesy, and they put me in chain and beat me up and make a public display. So Lord, look at what has happened today in Brother Branham's name. You know, for all the good that he did, for all that which he preached. What happened? Not only that the churches do not believe, but he's got those followers make a reproach in such a, brought such a reproach upon his teaching and his ministry that even they added to it. That's what it is like. Chapter 21 onward, is, it talks about the destruction, the foretold, I mean the prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem. Chapter 22 is also against the king of Judah. And you know that Jeremiah prophesied in the days of Josiah, okay, I believe it's the turning years of Josiah. Alright, and finally verse 29 here in chapter 22, here's this verse that we very, very well known. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. We close with chapter 23 here. Alright, finish it off with this. Woe unto all, unto the pastor that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, said the Lord. Therefore, tells the Lord God of Israel against the pastor that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. Depends on, you know, see how many of these preachers today, what they preach. Okay? Communion. No, no communion anymore. We don't have to take communion. No longer there's foot washing. Because we are in the millennium already. We have been raptured. After a while, all these things happen, people leave. Here and there they go. You know? You see? And many, many things that's going on today. Just the same word back then, huh? Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all country whither I have driven them, and I'll bring them again to their fold. And there shall be fruitful and increase. That is the return of the remnant in the future. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, said the Lord. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That is in the future, right? You remember? Alright. This is a prophet. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lived, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lived, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, from all countries whither I have driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. Verse 11, now God talks about the false prophet. For both prophet and priest are profaned. This is the priest and the prophet that are guilty of what they did. Yet in my house have I found their wickedness, said the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as sleepy ways in the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them even the year of their visitation, said the Lord. Verse 14, I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They committed adultery and walked in lies. They strangled also the hands of evildoer. Ah, this is what I see even in the end time message. It's not just out there what people do, you know, out there in this denomination. What was this man that committed, Jim Baker, wasn't it? And his wife want to build a holy city, New Jerusalem sort of thing. And Jimmy Swaggart committing some fornication. But in the end time message, this thing happened very often. And it was done even in the Philippines. I just received an email a couple of days ago. It was being dealt with. You know. Alright. And verse 16. Thus said the Lord of hosts, Hearken unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision in of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And through that enough, there is too many. In the end of the message, they are not speaking the truth. And they can twist the word. One moment they say something like this, and when they are questioned, they say, oh, you know, that's the way I talk. And then in the end, you know, that doesn't make sense. When you preach something, and people ask you something, and tell you that this is what you say one moment, and this is another, and this is what you say another moment, how do you reconcile what you are saying? And you can say, oh, this is just what I am speaking, that's my way. But you're not telling the truth, you're not bringing it right. You know, an understanding to the people. Alright? They said, steal unto men, unto them that despise me. The Lord have said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walk after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Now that's prophet that prophesied lie. When God said this is what's going to happen, they says, no. Verse 21. I have not sent this prophet. Yet they ran. I have not spoken to them. Yet they prophesy. Men running around without a message. Men running around preaching without it being God's will. I never asked them to preach that. But there are a lot of them that are so bold enough. God say this to me. God tell me this. God say this. The only way to prove them, put them in the pulpit for a while and see. And we can see where they stand. Alright? Now we go to verse 25. I've heard what the prophet said. The prophet said lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophet that prophesied lies? Yeah, they are prophets of the deceits of their own heart. Vain imagination, huh? You know? And the worst thing is that it's one thing for them to prophesy lies, but it's the people who hear them, they follow them. You know them, don't you? And you know, well, somebody wrote me and said, Brother Gunn, oh, you're very well known in this site, and give me the site where Gotham Bruce is, you know. Say, you're still there. Say, I don't know, because I don't go there, I don't care what they say, you know. But they were here, this man will pick up all sorts of things and tell all kinds of things. And he will preach him about all the other preachers as being heretic except him. You know, the self-righteous spirit of the man is so blind, God has lifted up his skirt and covered his face. And you don't even know it. You know? Go home, if you men have a, go home and wear, maybe take a, go home and take what we call your bed sheet. Put it around yourself, you know. Then lift it up and cover your face. And stand in front of the mirror. You can't even see that you are naked. Correct? Because you are covered up. And this is what is the condition of Israel, and this is the condition we'll be seeing today. Man, oh man. Alright, let's continue. Verse 27. Which thing to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their father have forgotten my name for Baal, the prophet that have a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that have my word, let me speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Said the Lord, true in our hand. So when we people, you see, John Barman make a simple reminder. If what I preach is not in the Bible, don't believe. What is the chaff to the wheat? Right? If it's bone, then it drop. What is the bone to the meat? So to speak. Yes? Sure, isn't it? What is the shell of the egg to the egg? Nothing. It is good to put in the house to scare away the lizard. Found to be effective. Alright. That is the shell is still the lizard anyway. Verse 29. It's not my word like as a fire, said the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The word of God is like a fire and a hammer. That's good. Because we know that what fire does. When God tried us, like gold is being put in a fire. So when he put the gold all into the fire will burn and take away the dross away. Right? And just remain the fine gold. Okay? The other thing is the hammer. You know what hammer, how good a hammer really is. It breaks into pieces, the hard rock or anything. But in knowing that, it just breaks the rock to pieces. But a hammer is to temper steel. One of the things is, you take a steel, you want to make good sword, is that this steel you put into the fire also, okay, to burn out and,
you know, to heat it up and change the molecule movement, and you keep on hammering it, the molecule structure, and I don't know how you make the steel very tough and very, what we call strong. You see, so this is the word of God, a fire that cleanses and burns it out, and hammer that temple us, you know, make us, you know, resilient. All right. It's not my word like as a fire, said the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, said the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Ah, that's very true. I remember back in those days, the brother says, but again, there is only 4-4 ministry, not a 5-4 ministry. If there is a 5-4 ministry, if the church have a pastor, that's Nicolaitan spirit in the church. So, you know, the brother would preach in the church, laugh, and behind that, afterward, he, at home, he started call out. I remember he called up brother Paul and Sister Aggie and talked with them about this. That's what he does. You know. But they are so sure, you know, of what, you know, truth really is. Steal word from help from his neighbor. Remember one thing he said, what the Lord said, when the soul went forth, the soul, it fall on the roadside. And the bird come and take it away. So when you hear the word, you better keep it. Don't let the black birds, the little old demon, they come and take it away from you. Behold, I'm against the prophets of the Lord that use their tongues. And said, he said, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, said the Lord. And do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their unlikeness. Yet I send them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit these people at all, said the Lord. You see, verse 31, I'm against the prophet that said the Lord, that used the tongue and said, God said, he said. Who told you that? He said, God said. And God didn't say that. And God says, well, you know, they're all prophets of false dreams. I'm going to deal with them. But you know what? Every one of us, remember to keep the word of God. The last part, verse 29. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you and the city I give you and your father, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. One thing about dealing with a false prophet, but there is what God also did with those who take heed to false prophets. Huh? Is that right? What did Jesus say? He that receive a prophet, receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a true prophet, you receive definitely a true prophet's reward. If you receive a false prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. You know, the Bible just tells you if you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. It didn't tell you true one or false one. Isn't it not? So how do we judge? As in the book of Revelation, how do you test those who call themselves apostles that they are not? How do you test them? How do you tell them a prophet is a prophet? How do you test them? You see? That's what Abraham said, even the Bible said, if what the prophet come to pass, then you hear. Is that right? You know? And if any time the prophecy is wrong, then you do have to be afraid. Okay? So let us remember this. And what we learn of Jeremiah's ministry is what we see in our life today, in our churches today. And I believe God is still with his saints, and we know that there may be a little remnant of people left in the world, you know, that follow the truth all around this part of the, all over the world. But God will have his people. And we see the world is coming to the situation it is coming into now. And I think we should be ready for his coming. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, to your word and to your promise and truth. And we are thankful, Father, for the blessing of thy precious word today and for what we can see and learn, Lord, a little nuggets here and there of the life of Jeremiah and his calling into the ministry. Oh God, Lord, he must be very frustrated indeed. And he must be full of sorrow and pain, being torn apart, Father, for you to call him, Lord, to deal with the people that are tossed about with their own belief that everything is okay and listening and hearkening to the voice of those false prophets and priests who have profaned even the holy things of God. And Lord, he was so taken up with all this pain and sorrow, and so much so, Lord, that he cursed even the day of his birth. But Lord, we are thankful that you would allow all these things that happened to the life of Jeremiah to be put into written words that we might see truly, Lord, that how painful a man may be, Lord, it shows the natural side of the man. The pain that a man would feel, Lord, when he is caught in a situation between the love for truth, the love for God, the love for people. And certainly, Father, it is not an easy road for Brother Jeremiah to walk in, Lord, in those days when the kingdom of Jerusalem, O Lord, coming to that stage where, Lord, all they have believed are the words of false prophets, worshipping all those gods out there in this strange land that are not gods. So, Father, we are thankful for what is given us for our admonition. And, Lord, in this hour, we believe that, Lord, we might learn, Father, from these things too, that though we are believers of Thy Word, we are still, Father, affected, Lord, by the many things round about us, the gods of this evil world, with the things, O Lord, that are out there, material things, the lifestyle, the sophistications, O Lord, and the pressure, O Father, that would turn this world, you know, the way they thought, the people would think that the world is getting into a better place to live in. And Lord, we pray that for every one of us here, especially the young one, that Lord, in their studies and their work, O Lord, they beginning to do whatever as they come into this stage of working life. We pray, Father, that their mind, Lord, and their spirit and their heart will always stay with You. To know You, Lord, when they get up in the morning and the whole day through when they are studying or working, they will still always know that You are there and be mindful, O Lord, of Your presence. And that when they go to bed, Father, with us of Your grace, Father, we know because this is the generation of so much pressure, O Lord, of things that the gods of this evil world can afford to offer to the citizens of the world. Father, we pray, Father, Lord, that we, being the citizens of heaven, that we are always mindful of where we come from. And so, Lord, we ask for Your blessing today and grant us, Lord, good health and strength, Father, to continue on this journey to walk with You until we see our Lord Jesus face to face, Father. In whose name we pray, Lord. Amen.